You're listening to Central Time. I'm Mike Arnold.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. According to a recent article on preventing sexual assault, a new Washington Post Kaiser Family Foundation poll found that 1 in 5 young women who attended college in the past 4 years say they've been sexually assaulted, and 2/3 of those survivors say they've been drinking before the assault.
With statistics like that, parents can be left wondering what they can do to help. And the research shows that parents that have one especially powerful technique to use, talking to their kids about sexual assault. Parents who talked to their kids about the issue had kids who were safer in college.
Here to tell us about that research and share advice for what works is Bridget Schulte. She's a staff writer at the Washington Post, a fellow at the New America Foundation, and the author of Overwhelmed: Work, Love, and Play When No One Has the Time. Bridget, welcome back.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, the statistics on this are pretty alarming. So why would something as simple as talking to your kid about sexual assault be effective?
Well, I think it's really important on two levels, really. And the first is that you're bringing it out into the open, because more than anything, you know, all the statistics, whether alcohol is involved or not, what so much of the research shows is that what we really need to do is change the culture. And the only way you change the culture is by bringing it into the open and talking about it. And that's talking to both men and women. You know, for so long we've looked at sexual assault as something that only women need to worry about, or we've had sort of this blame the woman kind of advice. And so what's really important is that we look at that we're talking on these two levels, that we're looking at men and women and changing the culture, where it's, you know, you look at so many movies, it's so funny to talk about, you know, when you get drunk, you go after the woman who's the drunkest at the party, and that's how you score. And until we get to the point where that's not funny anymore, there are things on this other level, sort of a very practical level. So what do you do? And the research shows that when you're open with both your children, your men and women going off to college, it does serve as a protector.
Can you give us a sense of the kinds of things that parents would say both to young women and to young men?
Well, for the most important thing is really understanding consent. You know, no means no, really understanding, you know, what is yes, and understanding that when one or both of you have been drinking, neither one of you are really in a position to make, to get to that yes, to get to that real solid sense of consent, that this is something that you both have agreed on. So it's understanding that for both men and women. For women, some of it is very, very practical. Some of the research shows that the most dangerous time for young women in particular is the first few weeks of freshman year. In studies that have been done about who is perpetrating sexual assaults, they've found that it tends to be a very small group of who they call serial rapists. And they tend to target freshman girls who don't really know how things are working, and maybe flattered by attention, because they tend to be popular, and they kind of hide in the culture where this is sort of accepted. And so understanding that those first few weeks you need to be on your guard is something that the sociologists who've looked at this, Elizabeth Armstrong in particular, has found that the girls who have had the most success, if you will, really listened to their parents, who said, you know, don't drink from an open container. Always have a battle buddy where you go. Don't go upstairs by yourself, no matter how nice the young man might seem. So again, I think it's important to understand these are practical things that you can do, that that you can talk to your girls, but understanding that still leaves it in the kind of, I don't want to say blame the woman zone, but that's only part of it. We all need to be looking at a much larger cultural change, talking with administrators, teachers, fraternity,
right,
sororities, and students.
And what do you make of the fact that we're seeing that this is effective for parents to do, and we're not actually putting the burden to put some of these things into place on the colleges? For instance, if there's a small group of serial rapists that target women their first few weeks of freshman college, why are parents supposed to educate and not colleges?
That's a really good question. And actually, one of the things that's been happening, there's been an increasing, again, because of talking. And I think this is where talking and bringing awareness is really a very important first step. There have been more federal investigations into sexual assault on campuses that sort of turned up the heat on administrators. And there have been some really interesting education programs. They call it bystander education programs for both men and women on campuses to help students begin to recognize when things might be getting out of hand and what are some things that they can do in ways that are not going to expose them and sort of like put them in the out group, because it's always such a touchy thing. You know, you want to be sort of in the in group in college. You know, so that there are certain things that you can do, like at a party, if things look like they're starting to go off the rails, you turn off the music or you turn on the lights, and it, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be you making a big deal out of it, but you kind of disrupt, you know, you kind of disrupt it. And it teaches you to be a much more active bystander rather than just kind of watching things and feeling helpless.
So there are programs like that, but it sounds like at the core of a lot of the issues around sexual assault, not all, but a lot, is the problem of alcohol. Some people have called it the real date rape drug. How much of that, these talks, needs to talk about alcohol literacy?
Well, you know, that's a really, again, that's a really good question. When you talk to survivors, one of the things that they'll say is like, it wasn't the alcohol, it was him. You know, the Washington Post Kaiser Family Foundation poll found not only just 1 in 5 women who have been recently in college reported some kind of sexual assault, but 1 in 20 men as well. And there's a whole lot of shame around, you know, around their situation. They feel like they can't talk about it or that people don't understand. You know, but the thing with, you know, with alcohol, it is so ubiquitous on college campuses. I think that's one of the reasons why parents feel like, you know, they have to give their children sort of like lessons, if you will. Like, if you're going to drink, drink responsibly. Don't drink to incapacitation. Because Harvard has been studying drinking on college campuses for years, and binge drinking is huge. It's really just part of the college culture, and there have been efforts to try to stop that, and they really haven't been successful. There's wet campuses and dry campuses, and there's binge drinking on both.
And is it realistic then to think that we can ever decouple sex from alcohol? You were talking about consent before and how those lines get confusing when there's alcohol involved, but how do you ever decouple the two?
Yeah, I think that goes back to really having a culture change and really talking about things. That it is, you know, that just because someone is, you know, a young girl is incapacitated does not mean that she is open for business. You know, and again, I just think of like, you know, think of the popular movies out there that young boys in particular see all the time, you know, Superbad or, you know, the 40-Year-Old Virgin. There are all sorts of jokes about how that's the one that you want to go after and score. And so this is part of this larger conversation. You know, until that doesn't become funny anymore, this is something that, you know, that people are going to have to watch out for, and parents are going to have to warn their children about.
Well, we're talking about how parents can help prevent sexual assault by talking to their kids about it. Bridget Schulte is with us from the Washington Post. And Bridget, is this a comfortable conversation for most parents to have? They're not only talking about sex, which is difficult to have a conversation about, they're talking about sexual assault. Are most parents up to this?
You know, this is really one of the most difficult conversations that you could have. You know, first of all, when you talk about alcohol, you know, alcohol, it's illegal to drink in this country until you're 21. And so to sit down and have a realistic conversation with your child is almost sort of saying, listen, it's illegal, but I know you're going to do it, because that's the bottom line, is that's going to happen. You know, everybody who's gone to college remembers, you know, the keg parties or the Everclear in the garbage can and the dorm room. It is ubiquitous. And so that is part of what makes it uncomfortable, is that you know, kids may not want to admit to their parents that they've had a beer, or it is very uncomfortable. And you're talking about sex to both boys and girls who may not want to talk to their parents about it or kind of roll their eyes. I think that's one of the things that the sociologists found, is that they were difficult conversations. It didn't, you know, the parents may not have thought that the students were listening. They kind of would roll their eyes or like, oh, I know, or, you know, shut up, mom. And yet they did listen because they followed the advice and they did find it protective.
So how much safer are the kids who've had this kind of talk from sexual assault?
Well, you know, the some of the work is qualitative, and so it's difficult to, you know, to kind of like, you know, come up with a certain sort of percentage. But from the qualitative or anecdotal data, that the parents who did have those conversations, the students kind of walked in with open eyes, and that the students who had the most difficult time or were more at risk really came from parents who were in denial or were too embarrassed to talk or maybe too naive to understand what really happens on college campuses.
Bridget Schulte is with us now. She's a staff writer at The Washington Post, and you can find a link to her piece about this issue on the Central Time Facebook page. We're talking about how parents can help prevent sexual assault by talking to their kids about it.
And we'd like to hear from you. Did you have a talk with your kids about how to stay safe from sexual assault when they were teenagers or before they went out to college? You know what to say? Maybe you're thinking about having a conversation but can't quite figure out how to break the ice. Well, we'd like to hear your thoughts and comments and questions at 800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Or you can post your comments to the Central Time Facebook page.
We're taking a look at what parents can do to prevent sexual assault, especially with kids going off to college and alarmingly high rates of sexual assault there. The good news is smart and honest talk with parents can help keep kids safer. Bridget Schulte stays with us. She's a staff writer for The Washington Post and a fellow at the New America Foundation.
And we want to hear from you. Did you have a talk with your kids about how to stay safe from sexual assault when they were teenagers or before they went off to college? Or maybe you're a college student and you had that talk and you think differently. We'd like to hear your story. Tell us what you think. 800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we go to our callers now. We have Heather on the line in Clear Lake. Hi, Heather.
Hi. I just wanted to say thank you for talking about this, and I think it's so important to be talking about. My mom talked to me. I went to boarding school for high school, and my mom talked about it for me, with me. She knew I was going to boarding school for high school, and she talked about it probably from the age 10 on and kept that conversation going, and I just think that's so important. I also have a background in, and by the way, it also made a difference in the choices that I made looking back, even in dating and all of that. She just kept that conversation open, and I have a background in child protection too as a social worker, and the mm-hmm. more you can talk to your kids, the more you can prevent things like that and making it normal and to be talked about. I just think that's huge. So
interesting. From age 10 on, can you give us an example of a choice that you might have made differently because you had that conversation?
Well, I think it really influenced even the kinds of parties I went to or the kinds of, in boarding school there wasn't a lot of parties per se, but the kinds of friends and the people, like, I just was very aware of my surroundings always and making sure I was in control of my choices.
Heather, thank you so much. Thanks for sharing your experience with us. And Heather, her mother started very young with her. Do you think, Bridget, that there's any evidence that it pays to get started with these conversations earlier?
Well, I think each family, it really has to look at their own circumstances, their, you know, their own children, their own relationship with them. I do think it's really important. This really that really highlights how important it is to keep a relationship with your children so that you can have these conversations and be heard, so you're not just like harping on them about homework. Mm-hmm. You know, that you really stay in conversation with your kids. And sometimes we get so busy we forget to do that, because then when it comes time to have this difficult conversation, you'll have the relationship to build it on. And you can even say, look, I know you don't necessarily want to hear this from me, but, you know, have that relationship and try to have this conversation more than once. Maybe you don't need to start at age 10, but the kids do listen. You know, they may not seem like they are, or they may not seem like they want to hear it. But I think Heather's story shows, and some of the research shows, that they do listen, they do follow it, whether it's subconscious and in terms of like, well, I don't think I'll go to this party, or, talking to other friends. It's like, well, my mom said don't do this. Well, my dad says don't do that or do this. They really are listening.
All right, well, let's go back to our phones now. We've got another call. This is from Bill in Sun Prairie. Bill, hi.
Hey, I just want to say thanks. We were driving, and I heard the promo for the show, and it reminded me, and I had the conversation with the, well, it was directed at my 13-year-old, mm-hmm. but the other three kids in the car, you know, actually ended up asking a whole bunch of questions in it, and it led into a whole half-hour-long discussion about,
wow.
Underage drinking and how not to get yourself into situations that you can be vulnerable and taken advantage of. And, you know, even my, you know, and of course, my son that we started the conversation with, you know, I just, you know, reminding him, hey, you're not invincible. You're not immune to this.
So you just had this big conversation, Bill. That's so interesting. What did your kids, did it go well? And what did they ask you?
Yeah, it went reasonably well. I mean, we have some younger school age kids, so I mean, it got a little bit silly too. But we did bring it back to the serious side that you want to be on the lookout and in those situations, don't imbibe in alcohol so much that you can't take care of yourself or the people around you. You got to be aware of your surroundings. Don't go out alone. And put yourself in a dangerous situation.
All right, Bill. Well, thank you for calling. And so thanks for sharing your experience. Really had made a difference immediately there for Bill and his car full of kids. And Bridget, I don't want to let you go before we talk a little bit about how to, because you've got some bullet points that parents should talk about that are especially effective. Can you walk us through some basics for how to have one of these conversations like Bill just had and how to make sure that it goes well?
Well, sure. I think one of the first things is to really acknowledge that alcohol is part of campus life, whether you want it to be or not, to not be in denial. Just like, look, you are going to be going to parties and there is going to be alcohol. And so it's really important to, if you're going to drink, drink responsibly. Hopefully you're having those conversations when they start to drive, so that if you're going to drink or have a beer, do not drive. And hopefully you're having those conversations in high school. But really talk about, don't get to the point where you're so incapacitated that you make yourself vulnerable if you're a woman. Don't get so incapacitated if you're a young man that you can't make good judgments about, what's going on and in front of you. So to have both of those conversations with boys and girls, with men and women, and again, for really letting both men and women know the first couple weeks of school are really to be on your guard, to make sure that, if you're a guy, that you are on the lookout, that you are sort of a you're all in this together, that you're going to be a sort of an upstanding bystander, if you will, for women, to have a battle buddy, to, if you're going to go to a frat party, don't go alone, don't go upstairs by yourself, don't drink from an open container, make sure that if you're going to drink a beer, you've opened it yourself, make sure that you know what's in, you're drinking out of a clear glass, perhaps, so you'll see if anybody's going to, slip something in there. And really be very clear about your sexual boundaries, to have those kinds of conversations with your children to, so that they begin to know themselves. What is it that I want? What do I feel comfortable with? And how do I communicate that?
And Bridget, as we wrap up, not all parents will have the same comfort level. Is it a good idea, to rehearse this ahead of time or to, write down little cheat notes for yourself if you're a parent before you have this talk?
I'd say whatever works, because these are tough conversations. Alcohol is illegal till they're 21. We'd rather they don't drink, but there is alcohol all around. Lots of us, have different views about sexuality, and many people wouldn't like their children to be, having sex, but many of them are. So it takes sort of a level of kind of like, and you can even say that, look, this is my vision, this is what I would like, and this is why it's difficult for me, but we both know what you're going into, and the most important thing is for both of you, men and women, that you come out safe and whole.
Bridget, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
That was Bridget Schulze, staff writer at the Washington Post. She's also a fellow at the New America Foundation and the author of the book Overwhelmed, Work, Love, and Play When No One Has a Time. And don't forget, if you're interested in reading a bit more, you can read Bridget's piece about preventing sexual assault by talking about it with your kids over on the Central Time Facebook page.